Welcome to Shatteringness, a program devoted to the most important, to the fastest growing, and according to the most recent Gallup poll, the largest segment of society. Most of you have come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they've actually become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Today, during our first hour, and perhaps well into the second, we're going to use the news to demonstrate that point. If you're an American, there are going to be things that are said here that you're not much going to like, particularly if you're patriotic. And in our concluding hour, we're going to continue to expose the author of half of the Christian New Testament, the founder of the Christian religion, Paul, as a complete fraud. If you're a Christian, you may not like that very much either, but either way, you are, pro or con, invited to participate in this discussion. Our number is toll-free. It is 877-300-7645. The media is reporting that Israel is now claiming that they have wiped out the majority of Hamas's rocket supply. And yet the fighting shows no sign of abating. This quote from an Israeli government spokesperson, his name is Mark Regev, he said, "Our goal is clear." This is a statement he made on CNN. "Our goal is to free the people of Israel from the terror of these rocket attacks that are coming from Gaza and from the tunnel attacks coming from Gaza, where people pop out of the ground with machine guns and explosives, all ready to kill, to murder, and to kidnap people. The goal must be achieved diplomatically or militarily or a combination of both," he said. "But we will continue until that goal is achieved." Just what would make Hamas quit sending rockets and militants in Israel's way is hard to determine, according to this spokesperson. But we need to encourage them to stop, one way or another. Here are some numbers that are interesting. First of all, the number of tunnels that Israel has uncovered in Gaza that were designed to do one of two things, either to protect weapons manufacturing facilities, the weapons themselves, the weapon launchers, and an arsenal of weapons, and to protect jihadists while women and children live above and are vulnerable to Israeli counterattacks. Or they are designed to take Hamas Muslim jihadists into Israel where they can commit acts of terror, murder, and kidnapping. The tunnels only have those two purposes. Israel has found 32 of them. That is many, many more than they thought existed. Now, the fact is that these tunnels cost an average of $3 million to produce, and yet Hamas is saying that they're bankrupt, that they're derelict, that they're starving to death because they have no economy. But yet their dominant economic endeavor is to build an infrastructure under schools, under mosques, under apartment buildings, under hospitals, for the express purpose of creating civilian casualties as they inflict civilian casualties on Israel. Now, if you are in a position that you're begging for money, and the United States, showing what side they're on, recently sent a check of $50 million to Hamas. What do you think they're going to use it for? Oh, we said it was for humanitarian aid. Bull. This is what they do with their money. They spend $3 million per tunnel. They built 32 of them that Israel has already discovered. Who knows how many more there are. there are still chances that there are tunnels that we have no knowledge about and that they are inside Israel. Israel Defense spokesperson Peter Lerner told CNN, "We're operating in order to locate them." There are 10,000 is the number of rockets that Israel initially estimated that Hamas had in its possession. Now, those 10,000 rockets either came hidden in foodstuffs that were allowed through the weapons blockade so that there would be containers marked wheat, and inside of the containers marked wheat would be rocket parts and explosives, which is highly typical of the Muslims. And so the significant number of those would have been sent in from places like Qatar, which is a primary weapons supplier of ruthless Islamic terrorists the world over, from Saudi Arabia, from Kuwait, from Turkey, from Syria, on both sides in Syria, and from Iran, as well as from jihadists operating in the Sinai region of Egypt. Others were made out of construction components. The Hamas regime will say that they need pipes for sewer and for plumbing. They will not use those pipes for sewer or plumbing, but instead will use those pipes to make handcrafted, homegrown rockets. The evidence of that is ubiquitous. 10,000 was the estimate. The Hamas regime has launched more than 2,600 into Israel. And the IDF has destroyed more than 3,000 inside of these tunnels. So the assessment is that they're depleted around 60% of their capability. But for how long? And they were just given $50 million by the United States. They were given similar amounts of money by supportive Islamic regimes. They'll simply buy more parts and receive more rockets. Given that Israel has found more tunnels than expected, it is possible that Hamas has more rockets than Israel first surmised. And while many are struggling, are smuggled from Iran and Syria, many others are homemade, says the head of the Washington Institute for East Policy. Quote, "You can always find from the rubble pipes that can be cut, and you can always scrounge ingredients to make propellant. These rockets might be less effective, but Hamas will always be able to reconstitute their rocket force in some way. So you never get to the point where you can slap your hands and say, mission accomplished. No, so long as they remain Muslims, they will be enraged at Jews. That's what the Quran orders. The Quran orders them to continue to fight Jews until there are no Jews." The weapon of mass destruction is the religion of Islam. Bombing workshops where many rockets are made might prevent militants from producing longer-range rockets that threaten people beyond southern Israel, but you'll never be able to bomb them to the point where they're unable to produce rockets. They'll produce them in mosques. They'll produce them in school court common areas. They'll produce them in hospital lobbies. They'll continue to do so. More than 300 is the next number. It's the number of militants Israel, this would be the number of Hamas jihadists that Israel said it has killed. Now, that's really understating the number hugely because of the fact that the wives of these men, their children, are as supportive of their mission, which is to obliterate Israel and kill every Jew, as is the man who picks up the gun, the man who fires the rockets and engages the mortars. The U.S. State Department, which has absolutely no credibility whatsoever, says there are several thousand Gaza-based militant operatives. Several thousand. The United States State Department is just so lost, they just ought to run away in shame. There's so many aspects of the U.S. government that would be best gone, eradicated, depleted. This certainly is one of them. The fact is that there are hundreds of thousands of jihadists in Gaza. Not several thousand, hundreds of thousands. And the State Department says they report a 9,000-person Hamas-led paramilitary group known as the Executive Force. Well, there may be 9,000 men, jihadists, Islamic extremists, Islamist fundamentalists, I should say, that are part of a specific unit, but hundreds of thousands. Israel, meanwhile, has 176,000 active military personnel, has called up some of its reservists, and so the inference is 176,000 to 9,000. That's not the case. It's 176,000 to a number that's probably twice that number. I would, if I were asked to estimate of the 1.9 million residents of Gaza, how many of those were men and women willing to pick up weapons and to kill Jews, to fire rockets, to fire mortars, to shoot machine guns, to engage in acts of terrorism, the number is probably, collectively, among the 1.8 million, probably 1.2 million. And those actively engaged is probably half of that at about 600,000. So in terms of militants and military, the Jews do not outgun them 20 to 1. They're outgunned many, many times over. Approximately 6 to 1. Hamas leaders appear confident that the group can sustain its attacks until it secures its key demand, ending the blockade of the Gaza Strip by Egypt and Israel. We will return to that subject in a moment, because that, by the way, is not its key demand. This journalist either is stupid or is denying their key demand. Their key demand is that Israel no longer exists. This is also part of the problem as it relates to Hamas's aggression. And keep in mind, Hamas's objective is the obliteration of Israel. Read its charter. If you are unaware of that, shame on you. When Hamas says that they're primarily opposed to the occupation, the occupation is what has to end. There is no Israeli occupation of Gaza. In fact, Israel very seldom goes into Gaza and wouldn't go into Gaza if Hamas wasn't shooting rockets out of Gaza. The fact is that the Hamas charter, which describes Hamas as an Islamic resistant movement, is committed to the obliteration of the Israeli state. They do not want Israel to exist. They want all of Israel to be called Palestine and to be given to Muslims. And that is what they're fighting for. So the only way that you can accommodate these fundamentalist Muslims is to obliterate Israel. To let them obliterate Israel, or for the world collectively to obliterate Israel and remove every Jew or kill them from Israel. As it relates to the blockade, there is no economic blockade. There is no blockade of money. There's no blockade of food. There's no blockade of medicines. There's no blockade of building materials. There's no blockade of electricity. There is no blockade of any kind on the things that would be important to an economy, unless the purpose of your economy was to obliterate your neighbor. Israel and Egypt both search inbound shipments into to Gaza to rid them of weapons. That's it. So all of this is just based on a simple lie. The lie that is Islam. That Islam was created to obliterate Jews, and that it will not stop killing Jews until it either is itself stopped or every Jew on the planet dies. And by the way, if you're not a Jew and you think, oh, yeah, that's a Jewish problem, the hell with them, I don't like those Jews anyway. Understand that in the fifth surah of the Quran, which is the last revealed, Allah's rage, Muhammad's rage against Jews transitions to Christians. The entire purpose of the last surah of the Quran, the fifth chronologically, which is the fifth surah, which is the last chronologically, is to transition the fundamental enemy of Muslims from Jews to Christians. Now, the reason for this isn't a lessening of the Islamic hatred for Jews. It's just that during Muhammad's life, and the Quran is nothing but a bunch of situational scriptures to satiate Muhammad's personal lust for sex, power, and money. And I say that is because I proved it using the Islamic scriptures. It's not a pejorative. It just happens to be the truth. Is that they overhunted Jews. They raped every Jewish woman. They sold every Jewish child into slavery. They killed every Jewish man. They stole all the Jewish property. There was nothing left to prey upon. And so for Islam to exist as a parasite on humanity, it needed new prey. And so the fifth surah exists to transition Islam's most favored enemy from Judaism to Christianity. Now, that understood, it costs Israel $62,000 for every one of these 10-can rockets that they knock out of the sky. That's the reason they only shoot their Iron Dome rockets at those that are headed to populated areas and those that are going to land back on Gaza, those that are going to land in the open. They don't bother to bring down. 62,000. It's kind of like America fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan at the beginning of that war, where we would send, you know, $52 million cruise missiles, and we'd take out $200 worth of paraphernalia. More than 500 of these 62,000 missiles have been used to defend Israeli citizens at a cost of $31 million. Now, here's Hamas positioning women and children above their rocket and around their rocket launchers and around their tunnels so that they get killed. And here's Israel spending $31 million to defend their civilians. One spends, you know, $3 million a tunnel times 31 tunnels to specifically make their civilians vulnerable while protecting their militants and their military hardware, and the other uses its military hardware to defend its civilians. Each of those units, by the way, cost. This particular article says the next number that's important is 1.8 million versus 8 million, which is ultimately the most important figures may be the population of Gaza and Israel. That is absolute rubbish. First of all, the population of Israel includes a very sizable Islamic population. Israel is the only country in the Middle East that allows those who are not part of a majority religion or political view to be citizens with full rights to be treated identically with every other citizen. Same access to education, health care, voting, politics, you name it. And so there's about 2 million Muslims in Israel among that 8 million. Beyond that, it's not 1.8 million. Yeah, that happens to be the population of Gaza, give or take a million or so, because they can't count, and they're breeding like rabbits. But the fact is that in the world today, there are over 1.5 billion Muslims. And there is no distinction between the Muslims and Gaza. They're not a special breed. They're not a special race. They're not a special political entity. They're not a special sect. They're not distinct in any way from the other 1.5 billion Muslims in the world today. And the vast majority of Muslims are fundamentalists. Given the opportunity, they would hunt down and kill Jews. They want Israel obliterated. So that's the number. The real number is about somewhere between 12 and 15 million, which is the entire Jewish population of the world, and 1.5 billion. That's the actual number. What I'm going to share with you next is one of the most appalling things I have ever encountered. It underscores why I say that if you're a patriotic American, if you're American engaged in politics, if you voted for the present buffoon in the White House, shame on you. You're as big a part of the problem, you're as opposed to God as is the man you elected. If you voted for the other guy, shame on you. He may be worse. But it's why we ought not be in any way, shape, or form supportive of the United States. If you live in this country, you ought to reject the United States. That doesn't mean that you go off and pick up a gun and become belligerent. No, don't do that. I'm telling you, walk away from. And by walk away from, you don't need to go to Panama. Just don't vote anymore. Don't wave the flag. Don't salute the flag. Don't sing the national anthem. Don't show a reverence to the American military. Disassociate yourself from it. Say, I don't want any part of that because they're counterproductive. They're deceitful. What I'm going to share with you is exactly what Yahweh had to say about America's belligerence in Isaiah 18, Yashaya 18. Now, before I read this, I'm going to tell you that while this was given to a journalist and the editorial team at Israel's Channel 1 by a senior official in the U.S. government, and is a recording of Netanyahu and Obama talking on Sunday, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, which is a position appointed by Obama, who's therefore going to be an Obama defender, says that he has rejected the authenticity of this audio tape. Well, I'm going to tell you that the likelihood that someone created a 35-minute tape without a single error, single slip, in terms of conveying the voice tones of Barack Hussein Obama, which are well known to the world because he flaps his lips all the time, his condescending attitude, and someone also representing Netanyahu's voice, which is broadcast all over the media these days, that someone to do that for 35 minutes without any obvious flaw, and to have it available the same day that the conversation took place, which was on Sunday, is less than 1%. So I'm not telling you that it's 100% certain that this is true. I'm going to tell you that the likelihood that it's true is in the 99 percentile. One of the reasons that I come to that conclusion, beyond the fact this is 35 minutes replicating the unique voice quality of two of the best-known voices in the world, is because both positions are consistent with both men. The lead-in to this, which does not come from a blog, does not come from an internet source, comes from one of Israel's largest media outlets. It's titled, Leaked Tape, Hostile Obama Tries to Force Prime Minister to Accept Truce. U.S. President Markedly Unfriendly. interrupted the prime minister as he attempted to push an unfavorable truce on Israel. Now, it's important for you to know as well, before I read what comes next, is that the United States, its State Department, and the administration has gone out of its way recently to condemn Israel and the Israeli press over its denunciation of the John Lurch Kerry ceasefire agreement. Lurch recently proposed that Israel unilaterally withdraw and allow Hamas to have its weapons, to end the weapons blockade and just leave Hamas, leave Gaza, endure the carnage. And it was so unfavorable, so pro-Islamic terrorism, that the Israelis and their media released the agreement. And the United States had a conniption fit, said, what are you doing revealing this private conversation? And then had every senior office in the land condemn Israel for their rejection of Lurch. Well, this article then continues. Damning evidence has emerged of U.S. President Barack Obama's dismissal of Israel's position in favor of supporting the position of Hamas and its allies during the ceasefire talks. Now, I remind you, America just announced, Lurch, John Kerry, that America was giving, and to be exact, $49 million to Hamas. A senior U.S. official leaked an audio recording of a telephone conversation between Obama and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Channel One. In it, the 35-minute conversation, which took place on Sunday, the U.S. president appears downright hostile at points and even cuts off Netanyahu in the middle of his protestations over a one-sided truce proposal, which would have seen Hamas receive all its key demands, but that Israel ultimately rejected. What are Hamas's key demands? Its number one key demand is that Israel no longer exist. Second key demand is to allow Hamas to bring in as many weapons as they wish to achieve the primary demand. The following is an excerpt of that conversation published initially in Hebrew by Channel One. Now, it wasn't spoken in Hebrew. It was translated into Hebrew. Now it's been translated back into English. Obama, I demand that Israel agrees to an immediate unilateral ceasefire and halt all offensive activities, particularly airstrike. Now, I'm going to read to you in a moment what Netanyahu responded. If I were Netanyahu, this is how I would have responded. Excuse me, President Obama. If I'm correct, you couldn't make such a demand to the governor of Massachusetts. And last time I checked, Israel is not the 51st state of the United States. The I demand line wouldn't work unless you're a dictator and that we were part of your political entity. We're not, and you're not. Now, if you want to make a request, that's one thing. But I demand isn't going to work. Change your tone. Change your attitude. There's no purpose of having a conversation if you're going to demand. So once again, Obama, I demand that Israel agrees to an immediate unilateral ceasefire and halt all offensive activities, particularly airstrikes. By the way, Israel's not engaged in any offensive activity. Everything that they're engaged in is a defensive activity. Netanyahu's response, what will Israel receive in return for a ceasefire? Netanyahu and Israel are in a very difficult position, and that's why he did not respond as I would have. And I would have responded differently because I know the source of Israel's defense. We are really close friends. We're buds. And he is extraordinarily powerful. And he has a proven history of defending that which is reliant on him. And so my personal relationship with Yahweh would cause me to be antagonistic to the leader of today's Rome, the United States of America, because I know where my security lies. Netanyahu does not know Yahweh, even though his name reflects Yahweh's name. Nathan in Hebrew means gift. And so his name is Yahweh's gift. He doesn't know Yahweh. He's a politician. And so Netanyahu said, what will Israel receive in return for a ceasefire? He passed the obnoxiousness of a demand aside, swept it aside. He said, you know, I'm not going to be confrontational here. I am simply going to say, all right, you want to negotiate, what do I get if I do that? With President Barack Hussein Obama stating, I demand that Israel agrees to an immediate unilateral ceasefire and halt all offensive activities, particularly airstrikes. Netanyahu responded, what will Israel receive in return for a ceasefire? Obama, I believe that Hamas will stop firing rockets. Silence will be met with silence. Now, if I were Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu under that circumstance, and by the way, this is the same proposal that John Kerry made to Israel just 3 days ago. So, in fact, it was only 2 days prior to this conversation. So we should not be surprised that this was stated. If I had been Benjamin Netanyahu, I would say when he made the comment, I believe that Hamas will stop firing rockets. Silence will be met with silence. If I were Benjamin Netanyahu, since I know Yahweh, and I know Yahweh's love for Israel, and has committed to defend Israel so long as Yahudam, those related to Yah, do the same thing that he asked of all of us, to walk away from our reliance on our military, on our government, on our religion, to disassociate from those things and to walk in the opposite direction with our arms outstretched to him. I've done that. I know him. I know that he is always consistent, and therefore I would have spoken quite hostily to the man wishing the destruction of my country. So I will tell you what Netanyahu responded in a moment, but this is what I would have said. When you make the statement that you believe Hamas will stop firing rockets, that silence will be met with silence, the only options are for me to assume that you're either ignorant of history, that you're stupid, and therefore can't process information in a rational way, or that you have an agenda, and that your agenda is the supremacy of Islam over Israel. If Hamas were to stop firing rockets, silence would be met with silence. If they were to stop building tunnels and making weapons to kidnap and murder Israelis, the Muslims would hear nothing from Israel. That's true. But the other way around, it is absolutely not true. It has not never been true. As a matter of fact, it is because Hamas wanted this provocation, that they brought it on themselves by firing rockets into Israel unprovoked. Now, the timing of this most recent barrage of rockets is interesting. Hamas kidnapped and murdered four, not three, four. There was a young woman in a separate incident just a few days earlier. Four Israeli children. One girl, three boys. All teenagers. Kidnapped and murdered all three of them. And when Israel identified that strategy with Hamas, because Hamas was saying how glorified this behavior was and how those who did it should be exalted and honored, and how great this activity was, praising the kidnap and murdering of these four individuals. Hamas's next response was to fire 30 rockets at Israel, even though Hamas had signed in 2012 an agreement ending the last open confrontation between Hamas and Israel, never to shoot rockets at Israel again, to stop importing rockets, and never to fire another rocket at Israel again. They punched on their agreement. They began firing rockets. Israel then responded with airstrikes, and that is Israel's policy. Israel says, you're going to fire rockets. We're going to shoot back at where the rockets were fired. And what Hamas does is it surrounds, it makes certain that where it sets its rocket launchers is in the midst of civilians, which Israel then encourages to leave by calling them, texting them, and dropping leaflets around them. And Hamas orders them to stay. That's the reality. So, Mr. President, you are either ignorant of the history of these Muslims, you're either stupid, and you can't process this, you've been made aware of the information, but your cognitive abilities are at the Don Sterling level, and you can't process this information, or you have an agenda, and your agenda is for Hamas to continue to fire rockets to destroy Israel, for us to be defenseless.